Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller and Marcus Young. Got a lot to talk about today. Tennessee, Florida. The line has moved to 10.5. Marcus, are you with me?
I am with you, my friend. How are you today?
Man, I am living the dream. So, I have never seen a spread like this with Tennessee and Florida. Now, I've seen Florida be a huge favorite, but I've never seen Tennessee. I think the largest I've ever seen is 5. Maybe somebody next to you can confirm that that's what it is. But all in all, does it feel kind of weird taking that spread if you're a Tennessee fan and you're betting at Tennessee minus 10.5?
Yeah, honestly, it's still strange for me. You know, I've only recently gotten myself into betting and been learning about it. But, you know, as a Tennessee fan, we talk about it a lot. There's the, you know, just that disbelief of, can we actually pull it through and can we actually beat Florida? You know, it's not just Tennessee fans trying to say it now, but you've got experts in Vegas, you got experts really pulling behind the Vols, and it feels almost too good to be true. But, you know, you love seeing that number go up, even with the questionable health of your number one receiver, the best receiver in the SEC.
Absolutely.
So you like seeing that still moving up in that direction.
Absolutely. And I think right now what I saw earlier is there's a small likelihood that Tillman will play. That's what I've seen. I've heard other people say different things, but I mean, he's a pivotal part of that offense. Do you roll him out if he is, you know, one of the things I've been asking myself is, do you roll the dice? If he's at like 75%, would you rather him be out there than say a Squirrel White, you know, a Ramel Keaton, somebody like that? And I almost want to have him out there, like even as a decoy,
sure.
Like roll him out there, like, on a screenplay is like a decoy, in a sense.
Yeah, it's obviously extremely tempting because you bring up a good point. I mean, obviously, you know, we saw Squirrel White have a big catch in last week's game. You saw Ramel Keaton kind of look like maybe kind of what we hoped for when we initially signed him and recruited him. But obviously, Tillman is a different animal. He is an NFL-ready kind of receiver. And when you take that out of the equation, it definitely makes things a bit difficult. The only thing with him, with it being an ankle injury, it concerns me, even if he's at 75%, you know, do you run the risk of further injuring him to where it will make it harder for him to play against LSU or Alabama in those games that are going to be very key for our season? So it's one of those situations where it's almost a coin toss. Are you willing, like you said, are you willing to run the gamble, putting him out there, making the other team sweat it out a bit, or do you give him that extra rest knowing that he'll come into Baton Rouge 100% and ready to go?
Absolutely, and I'm kind of scared, though. Like, I say roll the dice, but I'm kind of scared because in the back of my mind, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, you know, what happens in 2 weeks, you know, 2.5 weeks from now when we go down to Baton Rouge? You know, what about when Alabama comes to town? What about when we play Kentucky? And Kentucky's not going to be an easy ball game for us. You know, obviously, and I don't think anybody's saying we're going to beat Alabama or Georgia, unless there are people saying it. I mean, but
you know, we get excited. Listen, I like to talk a little bit of crap towards Kentucky, and because they're Kentucky, like I'm not truly worried, but at the same time, I have to give them some respect. They've done better than we probably would have expected out of them this season. Will they continue that success? We'll see. They have both of the Mississippi teams coming up. We'll get to find out exactly what they're made of when they start to head into those two games. Because the reason why we're 10.5 favorites in Florida is because this is not the same Florida that our parents grew up with.
No.
So their true test is going to come up against Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
No. And, I mean, here's the thing, like, you know, in Kentucky's case, it's almost like, and quoting a friend here, but it's almost like they're a paper tiger. It's like, we look at who they play. It's like, well, they've not played anybody. Look at Will Levis's stats. yes, they have wins, but look at this. And,
right.
Of course, their fans are going to be riding high. They're going to think they got one of the best teams in the country. And maybe they do, maybe they don't. You know, we don't know. Until they actually play somebody, we won't know. But in Florida's case, coming up this weekend, I think that Florida has the more talented roster. I really do. They have more talent on the roster than what Tennessee does. However, can you scheme with that talent? Can you come up with a game plan that's going to fit what you've got? Because I've said this for a while now, you cannot make the players fit the system. You have to make the system fit the players, and that's what it's going to be about on Saturday. And I know Tennessee can do that. We did that all last year, and we've got off to a pretty decent start with it this year. We just have to continue that, and I really believe that's going to be, you know, what makes or breaks this game for both teams. It's like, can you make the system fit the players?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the biggest question. Also, I think the biggest question right after that would be, which version of Anthony Richardson are we going to see? You know, are we going to see the guy that has thrown 4 interceptions and 0 touchdowns and has looked very subpar? Are we going to get the kind of quarterback play that, unfortunately, Tennessee Volunteers of past have experienced, which is a guy that will just all of a sudden have a better game than what he should have? It's really going to, I think it's going to depend on that, on him more than anything. They have good running backs. I think they have the better running game than we do, unfortunately. Nothing against our guys, but they just have better running backs. But I think we still beat them at quarterback and receiver when we look at the offensive matchups. So it's going to come down to coaching, like you said, fitting that scheme. And it's also going to come down to, truly, in my eyes, just really Florida's quarterback. Which version are we going to get?
Right. And, I mean, we got to ask the question, is Anthony Richardson going to run the ball? If he is able to run the ball, do what he does, you know, I could see it being a challenge for us, but right now I think Florida's afraid to run the football. I mean, you look at this past Saturday against USF. I mean, they almost lost, man.
No.
I mean, if they didn't run the ball with their, you know, ETN and all those guys, they don't win the ball game.
No, I agree. And the thing, too, you have to look at is, and we talked about it earlier on the drive a little bit, and the difference between our defense when it comes to stopping running quarterbacks, because we've had that issue. We can look at different quarterbacks who've been able to use their legs against us and it made life difficult for us. But the difference between like a Matt Corral, for example, is Matt Corral can throw the ball. He had his legs and he could use them against us, but we had to respect his ability to throw the ball, and they had good receivers. With Florida, they feel more one-dimensional. They feel like the run game is their kind of focus. So the question will come to pass will be, what kind of defensive scheme are we going to have? Are we going to have a quarterback spy? Do we keep Beasley kind of locked in, keeping an eye? Do we play more zone and kind of make him use his eyes and make him make poor decisions? Or do we try to blitz a bit and try to make him uncomfortable? But I feel like he's one of those quarterbacks, when you get him out of the pocket, he'll take advantage of it.
It's going to be interesting to see. Let's take a quick timeout. Roberto, hang right there. We'll get you in here. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Marcus Young with you for the next hour and 45 minutes. Let's go to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Roberto is up first. What's up, Berto?
Good evening, gentlemen.
How we doing?
I've kind of 10 ways to Sunday. We're not losing on Saturday. It ain't happening.
And this is the most confident I have heard you in a while. Like, it has been a long time since I have heard you be this confident. Because you were the one that told me last year to calm down about the Ole Miss game. You were right then. I think you're going to be right again.
Well, Ole Miss last year was really good.
They were really good.
That was a damn fine football team. Florida is Fanny, as I would say to my children. They're butt.
They're
terrible. And, you know, they have one player, and you just mentioned him. And I'm not so sure that he's that great. And I think he's hobbled. And I think that Graham Hall, the guy that's making the rounds from 247 up here this week on the airways, is headed at the same thing. I think he's hurt.
Interesting.
I think Richardson's hurt, and Graham Hall has been on multiple shows around town. As you know, I tune into, if not all of them, most of them, and he is indicating that they're holding him back for a reason.
So that's why he's not been able to run.
They are really worried that he's going to get, if not hurt worse, for sure hurt. How about that? Because they have nothing behind him. So at minimum, they're not letting him get out of the pocket. And I would say they'll carry to Saturday. Here's the truth. I don't think they think they're going to win.
They don't think they're going to win.
I do not think they think they're going to win. Listen to them talk. Listen to their coach talk.
Listen to their fans, man. Their fans are just in despair right now. They don't know what to think.
Yeah, my neighbors across the street are both Florida fans, and they're like, just don't beat us by 50. And I'm like, okay, I'm not that guy, but, I mean, it could get out of hand, and that would be kind of fun. For to just get out of hand and us just to just pound their face into dust. Take out 30 years of frustration on them on Saturday.
When's the last time that you heard a Florida fan utter those words to Tennessee fans? Just don't beat us by 50.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
No, I've never heard it myself.
I just got off the phone with my cousin. He was a walk-on at Florida, and he's like, I just don't see it, man. I mean, that's what gave me the confidence, because he's a purveyor of truth, and he's talked me off ledges for Tennessee for years, saying, buddy, we're better than you think. He said, we are not good. You are going to pound us.
And I think we had mentioned it yesterday on your call, Roberto. I've never seen us be favored by this much in a game against Florida. I think the most I've ever seen us favored by was
like 4.5. So I'm a gambler, right?
And yeah.
We're up another 100 units this week, boys. It was a good Monday night. Don't say if you saw that parlay I threw out there. That was interesting.
The king of parlays.
To get that out before I. Yeah, yeah. I got Tennessee at -5.5 on August the 11th. And back then, I was sweating it a little bit, especially after I saw the Utah-Florida game.
Uh-huh.
But I can tell you this, 10 points has actually never happened in the betting era, like where it became fashionable.
Right.
You know, I'm probably 25 years into messing around with this stuff, and I've never seen Tennessee favored by 10 over Florida, not ever. And I think I heard somebody say, all the way back to 95, which is about the time I would have started messing around with this stuff, right? That Tennessee's not been favored by that. And that's kind of what you would call the modern era of sports gambling.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. Well, guys, I told you stat of the day yesterday. The only thing that can get out of control for this team is turnovers. And what do we not do, boys? What does our quarterback not do?
He does not turn the ball over.
Let's go!
Appreciate it, Roberto. Let's keep it rolling. Philly is up next. What's up, Phil?
Why is that, Jake Snook?
Philly!
I say you borrowed Marcus. That's pretty cool.
I had to borrow him.
Well, yeah, Marcus is getting to do a curve move. You know, get up with Jake the Snake.
Got to pull him away from it sometimes, Phil.
That's right. They get their training and they move on, you know?
That's usually what happens.
Guys, I can't remember. I've been around longer than Roberto. I can't remember Tennessee ever being a double-digit favorite over Florida.
That's the thing, is it's new territory for every single person that is listening to this, that's on this call, that's in this room. It's just something that I've never seen. I don't know how to feel about it. A part of me is excited, but the other part of me is still saying, well, you know what happens, but also, Phil, those that look only to the past or the present are certain to miss the future, and the future is Saturday.
Yeah, well, history says this will be a close game, but reality, who knows what will happen. All honesty, I mean, Tennessee should win, but 16 out of 17, and then I think we beat them six times in 30 years. I mean,
sounds about right. Beat them in 90, 92, 98, 01. 03, 04, and 16.
Not very many then, right?
Not very many. But, Phil, last year you called into the drive and said if we beat Florida that you was going to run up and down Chapman Highway butt naked.
Did I really say that?
You said that, but I don't think that I don't think you got to make that bet this year because it might actually happen.
Well, I hope we do. I mean, I still got doubt, even though I'm cautiously optimistic about the ball game. You know what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying.
I mean, we can't go out there and have turnovers, which we do a lot against Florida. And then, like I told Marcus earlier on his show, that we couldn't get a punt blocked. Are they going to get that rectified?
Well, that's the thing, is our special teams, I'm actually kind of worried because the issues on, the punt team, really the punt return team, because there's just a lot of stuff that can go wrong. And let's be honest, Bill, against Pittsburgh, the only reason that we won that ball game is because two Pitt players were fighting over the block, or not the block kick, the block punt.
Yeah. That's a good point. What do y'all think the who is going to be our number one receiver now? Is it going to be Hyde or McCoy if Tillman don't play?
I think it's going to be Jalen Hyde. I think he's the guy that you want out there in his position. He's got the speed. He's got the – not really the big body, but he can go up and get a ball if you need him to.
Are we going to be able to run enough on him to keep him honest?
I think we will. I think we will. Yeah, of course, I'm worried about, Jabari Small, the shoulder injury. That's what plagued him all last year. That's going to be a big factor on Saturday. I hope that he's okay. I hope that he's at 100%. Same goes for Dylan Sampson. He had a great game this past Saturday as well. Granted, we were playing Akron, but, stats are stats.
Well, Dylan Sampson looks like he's got some juice when he runs. You know what I'm saying?
He's got that breakaway speed, that I'm going to run out of here. I'm going to run to the end zone speed. That's exactly what he's got.
Which is what we need, you know what?
Exactly.
And we've got to keep up.
Go ahead. If I'm not mistaken, I think Mac actually said that the running backs looked healthy.
Good.
Well, that's good news.
I think he was saying something along those lines in his press conference. I think he mentioned that they were all out there practicing. So hopefully that's a good sign for our running backs. I know that they were testing out Fant a little bit for an emergency running back if needed. But I feel like our only real question mark is going to be Tillman. I think that's going to be a game time decision.
But Tillman is not severely injured though, is he?
I don't think so. I mean, he was able to walk off the field, but that was a cheap shot, and with cheap shots comes, potential devastating injuries.
Well, football can be a brutal sport, you know what?
That it can. That's the ugly part of the game, but we just we got to learn to live with it. We're going to play dirty teams, and it's our job to go around it.
You convince me that we'd beat Pittsburgh, or you going to be able to convince me that we're going to beat Florida?
Phil, here's how it's going to be. I want you to go back in your mind. I want you to go back to 1990 at the start of the second half. And that ball almost went out of bounds. And number 18, Dale Carter, never read rule number one to let it go out of bounds. And what happened after that? That's exactly what's going to happen on Saturday.
Boy, it was a beautiful play, wasn't it?
I mean, just making guys miss, running over, through, around, underneath guys. I think we're going to see something special on Saturday.
Yeah, and I remember that celebration and Dale Carter in there in the south end zone. It's beautiful. I mean, you remember what he's doing. I ain't going to say it on there. You know?
Well, I've got the video of it back at home. I wasn't born yet, but I've seen that multiple times.
Isn't it beautiful?
It was wonderful, wasn't it?
Too bad Marcus didn't get to see it.
Well, I can pull that video up for him. No problem.
You got to do that.
Well, I'm happy to watch it.
I hope that you get Winchester to call in and hear. I want to know what he's done. I'm still waiting for my free beer from him. You know what I mean?
He owes you a beer?
Well, yeah. Because I've been saying he's a great caller. You ought to give me something for saying that to him.
I mean, I would. Wish we could have saw you on Saturday, Phil. We had us a good old time.
I couldn't get down there. I had so much crap going on. But y'all, so this Hops and Hollers, y'all going to be down there 6 to 8 on Friday?
Yes, sir.
Huh. Well, I'd like to meet the Jack the Snake, see what the real deal Holyfield is, you know what?
Well, I want you to prepare yourself, Phil. Everyone expects me to be tall.
Really?
Everyone expects me to be about 6 foot three, 6 foot four.
Huh.
I'm about 5'11".
Wow. Well, you got a voice about somebody bigger, you know
what? That's usually what people say. Every person that I've ever met that's a listener, I meet them. Hey, I'm Jake. Oh, you're Jake. I just expected you to be a lot taller.
Well, that's why I call you Jack the Snake. See you.
Appreciate it, Phil. Philly. Doing Philly things. Calling in.
Go ahead. Fantastic point, by the way. I'm not worried about Hendon Hooker turning the ball over. I'm worried about special teams.
Yeah, I mean, special teams has been kind of our weak point, man, if we're being honest.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of concerns about the defense, obviously, because it's not an elite defense. But when it comes to turning the ball over, I'm glad that we have a quarterback that is safe and secure with it. But we got to make sure that we can't hang on to that ball when we make those punts. We can't muff the ball. That's going to be the key to the game. And we're going to see how the special teams goes in the SEC play because they can't play. I mean, like all three games we played so far, it's been nerve-wracking, man.
That it has. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Marcus Young, coming at you for the next hour and a half. Breaking down Tennessee, Florida. Welcoming all phone calls. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to hop on with us this evening. Talking a little bit about the betting line and how much that has gone up ever since we opened up back a few weeks ago. I think we'd opened up, I think Roberto said, as a 5-point favorite. Now it's up to 10.5. We've never seen that in our lifetime. It's really exciting to see. And you look at what's happened in the past. We know it's happened. You can't erase that. The only thing you can change are things going forward. And that's in all aspects of life. You know, you can't change what's happened in the past, but you can better yourself to do better in the future. It's all about how you bounce back. It's not about how hard you fall. It's about how you get back up and make yourself better. And right now, Tennessee has made itself better. And I don't see any reasons why we shouldn't have the utmost confidence in this team going forward.
No, I agree. I think the main aspect that we have to look forward to about what Heupel has done to this point is he is, obviously we talk about how exciting the offense is, but it's not just that. It's the fact that I feel confident that we actually have a coach that can out-coach other coaches.
Right.
Like I haven't really felt that in a while.
Yeah, you just not felt like we have the better coaching staff.
Right.
We definitely didn't have it with the last coaching staff we had. And at times, it seemed like Butch Jones could do it. But at the end of the day, I used this earlier, Paper Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he was not what he was billed to be, you know. A guy's like, oh, well, Butch Jones did this. Butch Jones did that. Man, Butch Jones didn't do anything.
No.
Butch Jones never got us to Atlanta. His best conference record was 5-3, and that was in 2014. Not even 2016, when you had all the talent in the world. You had everything in your arsenal that you could have had.
Beating Florida, beating Georgia.
And then losing to South Carolina Vanderbilt.
I remember the thing that killed me about him in particular that year. We would always start off slow and we'd come back and win it late. And the big reason was for two reasons. It was because of Josh Dobbs and Alvin Kamara, specifically just playing football, like going out there and just doing what they had to do to win the game. And he would always come back and say he couldn't understand, he couldn't explain why first half we were slow, second half we were on fire.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, you're the coaching staff. You see the games. You go back and rewatch it. You should be able to tell me why this is, because I could.
Right.
It's because you're playing basic football, pretty much run, run, pass kind of thing. You really weren't playing in such a way that would really challenge the other team. And the only time you really started to challenge them was because you literally had to do whatever it took to win the game.
You did.
And so, of course, it's going to be a tale of two halves. So now I feel, even during that Pitt game, I know you and I were texting during that game. There were moments where it was like when you start going sluggish, you're like, oh, man. Like you kind of got nervous about it because you felt like, oh, this is just another Tennessee thing. But the pride that I have in this team and this coaching staff is if we start off a bit sluggish, I will still be nervous, but I have a bit more faith that we're going to figure it out a lot quicker.
Absolutely. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on with us. Let's get TJ, the Kentucky fan, in here. What's up, TJ?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing tonight?
What's up, TJ?
Oh, you know, just cracked open a couple beers and cooked some steaks after a long day. Not too bad.
There you go.
Hey, let me ask you, man. You know, let's say Tennessee wins this game by my prediction, 47-17. Let's say Tennessee handles them easily.
Okay.
Fourth quarter, Hendon Hooker's out, you know, starters are out. Easy win. Tennessee's top 10, they're number 9.
Right.
Is Coach Heupel at that point an in-game coach for you? Do you think Heupel is the next Johnny Majors, the next Philip Fulmer, if that transpires?
I mean, here's the thing, man. You got to get to Atlanta or a college football playoff before we can start talking like that. I mean, it would be nice to see. It would be awesome. But, you know, I'm still reserved in the aspect that I feel like we're going to have to go to Atlanta or we're going to have to make a college football playoff before we can make those comparisons.
So, let's say, you know, I like to get the feel for other college football fans. You got game day there. You got everything going on for you this weekend. I ain't putting it out there. There's a lot of other Tennessee fans who have said it on these radio waves before I have, so don't start with, oh, he's a Kentucky fan, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Tennessee loses.
Okay.
Tennessee loses. Are you still comfortable with Heupel being the head coach and getting that contract extension that just came out on the news this week or last week?
I'll be honest, I don't know. I don't know whether to think that he is or he isn't the guy at that point. I just know that there's going to be some questions. It's like, you've got a Florida team. Yeah, they might have more talent, but you got the better scheme. You got the better system. You got the players that fit your system better than Florida has the players that fits their system. So why are we not winning?
I saw this thing that 247 or Rivals did the other day. If I were to tell you it, on talent, 4 stars, 5 stars, 3 stars, let's just say this. What do you think Tennessee is ranked in the SEC talent-wise this year according to 247 Sports?
And the talent composite?
I don't know if it's composite or what, but it says talent. So maybe it is the composite.
I think we're number 19 or 20 in the country.
In the SEC?
In the SEC, probably, honestly, probably 5th or 6th.
What do you think Kentucky is?
They're below us, probably 7th or 8th.
So I saw this, and it was astounding. Florida was 5th. Tennessee was 9th. Kentucky was 11th. he's a five-star. He's a five-star number one. I'm over the stars, man. I am completely over the stars. Tennessee, in my mind, from what I see, the eye test, is probably the daggone second or third best team in the SEC, and I'm not being biased. Kentucky's probably the third, fourth, or fifth best team in the SEC, just from what I've seen so far in the first 3 weeks, and you can't argue it. And if you try to, you're crazy.
Oh, absolutely. And, TJ, that's a really good point by you, because I'm a believer in the fact that, you know, it's a lot harder to recruit players now based on, you know, the talent that you're given. Because, you know, we didn't always have this star system. And there were not as many five stars back then as what there were now. You had blue chips, in a sense. And now it just seems like, you know, the guys that don't have the money to go to these camps, the guys that, you know, don't really get a lot of exposure because of where they're at, those are probably some of your better ball players. And, I mean, it's not just football, but basketball as well. I mean, Amani Bates, look at him, for example. That guy was supposed to be the new face of the NBA once he did his 1 year at Memphis. And what's happened?
I'll give you one better.
What's that?
2 years ago, 3 years ago, Josh Allen, defensive end linebacker for Kentucky. Guess what? He had two scholarship offers, Kentucky and Dartmouth. That's it. He went to Kentucky, and he was a top seven pick.
I mean, you got to have brains get an offer from Dartmouth.
I'm telling you, man, you get these rankings. I know the big heads and the media love them. I know Saturday on CBS, Gary Danielson or somebody like that is going to put up a stat. Oh, let's look at the five stars and four stars that both teams have. Get that out of here. I don't care. Give me the better coach, which is Heupel. Give me the better environment, which is Knoxville. Give me the better it pains me to say it because I hate Tennessee. I'm a Kentucky fan. But give me the better players, and that's Tennessee. Y'all going to whoop their butt. Y'all have a good night, man.
Appreciate it, TJ. Well, TJ is confident in the Vols.
I'll say the other thing, too, when it comes to the star rankings, like you could go back to look at a lot of them. And this one's just fresh on my mind for two reasons. One, he has a similar name to who TJ was just talking about.
Right.
But also I had to witness his absolute destruction of my Titans. Josh Allen was a three-star who went to Wyoming. You know, he's from California. Like, it wasn't like he wasn't going to get good looks. I mean, this, you know, we see what he's done in the NFL.
That's incredible.
And the things that he has done at this point, I don't think anyone, I mean, people were talking about Jalen Ramsey, who got torched by him in week one.
Right.
Had that whole couple of years ago when he was trash-talking every quarterback. Well, what happened there? He's talking about Josh Allen being that wasn't worth a first-round pick, I think is what he pointed out. Clearly, he's, to me, top four quarterback in the NFL. So, J.J. Watt went to Central Michigan before transferring to Wisconsin. Was not a high-star recruit.
Right.
So, yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard to take any of these rankings into consideration. It goes back to what you made your point earlier in the show, the game plan.
Yeah.
It comes down to the game plan. It comes down to the coaching staff and how well they can recruit them up. We look at guys at the Tennessee basketball, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield. Were those guys looked at
Jordan
highly?
Bone.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at our all-time recruits, and a lot of those guys aren't even top 50.
Right.
And, you know, I think there's only like 80 or so guys that are on that list, you know, ever since I think it might have been 2004, and the majority of the guys that were on that team that went to the Sweet 16, they were not in the top 50. Jordan Bone just cracked the top 50. He was 49.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it comes down to coaching. I think you can see that, as much as this pains me to say this, giving in some more credit to Kentucky, you can see that the players that they have brought in under the coaching staff that they have now has clearly made a difference compared to, who was it before Stoops? Was it Joker?
Yes.
Yeah. Clearly has made a difference. You could look at it even with Vanderbilt when Franklin was there.
Right.
like give Vanderbilt that credit as well. So comes down to coaching staff, comes down to meshing with the players rather than the stars.
Absolutely. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Fan Run Radio Overtime continues. Final segment of hour number one. Marcus, have you seen where a Cleveland Browns fan threw a bottle at Jimmy Haslam and is banned from that stadium for life?
I did see that. And I was, you know, I was impressed that the Browns learned how to properly, you know, punish somebody after Watson. Looks like they learned their lesson.
Yeah, no joke. I mean, that's the thing, is like you do that with Deshaun Watson. Takes months to figure out what you're actually going to do as far as the punishment goes. Fan throws a bottle at Jimmy Haslam. Boom! Banned for life.
It hit like his hand, too. It wasn't even like it. It's not like he got hit in the face. It wasn't like a Lane Kiffin thing. But.
Yeah, I mean, that was.
I don't know, man. Like, don't get me wrong. I definitely think you shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff as fans anyway, like throwing them at people like that. Because you know you're going to get. I mean, you know you're going to get found. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
Either someone around you is going to snitch on you, or, you know, there's cameras everywhere. You're going to get found. So,
somebody's going to find out something.
Yeah.
That's how this goes. You don't always get away scot-free.
No. No, you don't. And unless you're, you know, incredibly wealthy in the face of a football franchise.
Ben Roethlisberger. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on. Let's get Daniel in here. What's up, Daniel?
How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
Pretty good, man.
You know, before I get into the Tennessee Vols and everything, you know, I want to touch on NFL. And Jake, who is your team that you pull for in the NFL?
I mean, I'm not a diehard Titans fan, but if I were to pull for anybody, it would be the Titans. That's the team
okay.
I watch the most.
Okay, so I want to start there. So
let's do it.
I think the Titans. I don't know what it is, but when we were younger,
mm-hmm.
the Air McNair, the Eddie George, the Javon Curses, that was
Frank
the
Wycheck.
Team. Yes, that was my team as a kid. Right.
Right.
I mean, I grew up. I loved them. You know that Super Bowl. I remember watching it. I remember thinking about that. But the Titans had a unique opportunity, and I think they dropped the ball, and they had that decade where they were really bad to watch, and I think they're getting back to that where being bad to watch, and I'm getting somewhere with this. And the reason why I say that is because prior to the Titans coming to Tennessee, there was no major professional fan base that really that the local community gravitated towards. You have a lot of Steeler fans, you got a lot of Braves fans, and a couple years ago when we went to see the Bengals play the Broncos, I forget what year it was. I don't remember exactly. I just remember it was a day game. It was a day Sunday game. And my family, they lived in Cincinnati for a little while, so I've always liked the Reds but I started pulling for the Bengals after that game just because I loved the environment, kind of an underdog like Tennessee always had been. But long story short, I think the Titans missed a good opportunity in gravitating, like grabbing some fans because they were so bad for so long. And I think I just think they play a very boring brand of football, and it's getting back to that. I just from last night watching that game.
No, I agree with you there, and you know, the Titans, and let's call it like it is, Daniel. You and I have been alive longer than the Titans have been in the state of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where we grew up, we're kind of in a situation, it's equal distance to Cincinnati as it is to Nashville and as it is to Atlanta. So it's like you're kind of in that middle ground where you can pick between one of three or even four teams. I mean, you can throw Carolina in there if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
But the coolest thing ever was, I guess I would have been in second grade at West La Follette. Yeah, back when that was a thing. Keith Bullock. Got to meet him there. He came and done a little pep rally for us. That was pretty cool.
We're talking to alumni of the great Wessel Follett Elementary School right now.
And there's not going to be any more of them.
fantastic institution of academic.
Oh, man, a 120-year-old building.
Oh.
Somehow it stood still.
But I mean, it's the Steve McNair days and the Eddie George days. That was some good football, but I just really think they play a boring brand of football. And like you're saying too, we've been on this earth longer than they've had a sports franchise in the state of Tennessee. So I think they're missing out on a population of people that would be a fan of theirs. But like Tannehill, I mean, if I was a Titans fan, I'd be like, my gosh, can we just go ahead and move on from this guy?
And it's amazing that they gave him that massive contract, and there's no way to get out of it. Marcus, what you got?
Listen, I know exactly what you're talking about, where it feels like we've gone through the mediocre seasons near the end of the Jeff Fisher era to Mike Munchak to Ken Wisenhunt, Malarkey, which, by the way, if you have a coach named Malarkey, don't hire him, because you're just putting yourself up for ridicule at that point. I agree. I do agree with your point, Daniel, that it does feel like we are playing very boring football. And people have tried to say that, you know, this is the new offense of the years where you have the high-flying passing with, you know, with Mahomes and Allen and all of that. And we're playing old school football. Look, after that loss last night, I did some research on my own, and I can name three running backs who would be considered elite running backs when their team won the Super Bowl since the Titans were last in a Super Bowl. That's Marshall Faulk with the Greatest Show on Turf. You got Jamal Lewis during his rookie year when the Baltimore Ravens won theirs. And Marshawn Lynch with the Seattle Seahawks. But the difference between those three guys and every other running back that's been a part of a roster, they didn't do it by themselves. The Greatest Show on Turf was not the greatest running back on turf. It was not really the offense of the Ravens was not the reason they won. It was because of that defense. And yes, similar with the Seahawks, they had a great defense. They had Russell Wilson. So what right now the Titans really only have offensively Derrick Henry, and he has not looked the same. And when you take away any kind of weapons around him, it's hard to try to win a Super Bowl. Even during our best year, Tannehill was still not really the guy that was going to get you there. So I agree with you. It's kind of boring. And if they really want to make a change and try to push forward, they need to get more offensive weapons to make it more of a balanced offense. Cause right now it just isn't.
And you know, and like, I kind of take a deep dive on the NFL and like the whole fundamental of the franchise and how everything operates, you know, fascinates me, you know. But when you have like a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who takes this, you know, that huge salary cap, you know, hit that they take that max deal, it starts to pigeonhole what they can put. I mean, you're seeing it in Dallas. That's why the Cowboys are the way they are, is because when you walk all your money up into certain players, you can't, you know, which, and that's kind of why the Titans, I was like, why do they let, you know, Brown go, you know, for pennies, you know? I mean, they just didn't want to pay that contract. Now, I don't blame them to a certain degree, but, you know, you got to have some flash in this league nowadays.
That you do. Daniel, we got to run, man. You want to hang through this break?
No, you go ahead. Thanks. Y'all have a good night.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow, man. All righty. Hour number one in the books, hour number two of overtime coming up. We got John Dunn from the All-Vol Call-In Show coming up at 7:20. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.